KSLNews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Let me remind you once again, sometimes I get involved in the conversation with our guest and fail to remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion. We're talking today with Kathleen Murray. Kathleen Murray is the director for the County Citizens Defending Freedom, the CCDF, and we're talking about the origin of that organization and why it is in place and what it is attempting to do and how we, the listeners, can participate and become a part of this program of working toward the defense of our county, our state, and our nation. Kathleen, again, thank you so much for being with us today. Would you explain to our listeners the mission? What is the mission for CCDF? Give us some point forms, and then we're going to talk about how people can become involved.
Okay. Well, the mission is to equip and empower American citizens to stand for and preserve the freedom for themselves as well as future generations, and to resolve the breaches of freedom, of liberty. And we do this through local awareness. We shine the light and we take action. Local light, local action is our motto.
Let me interject this thought, and it might be beneficial for our listeners. When you say shine the light, explain that a little more deeply. What does it mean? What do you mean by that? What does it mean to the listeners when we're talking about shining the light? I understand it, but maybe the listeners do not.
All right. So when we find breaches of liberty and freedom, and what we do is we go through a process, and we research and we vet the origins, and then we present our findings and recommended solutions to those public officials or organizations that have breached our liberties and freedoms. And then we present solutions to them. And if we can't bring them into compliance with our founding documents, then we shine the light. That is, we go public. And we go public because our organization is tied with other news and media outlets such as Epoch Times, Steve Bannon, etc. Mm-hmm. But first, we try and resolve it through the Matthew 18 model, one-on-one, or in the case of, say, for example, in education, my education division leader and I, we go and we meet with school board officials and we sit down with them privately and we say, we think this is a breach of freedom or liberty, or you're stepping on parental rights. Mm-hmm. And this is how we suggest that you correct that breach.
I'm glad you touched on that. It's been a hot spot for me for some time. You need not respond affirmatively or in any way that I make the statement, but I've called for on this broadcast many times for the resignation or the firing of Dr. Green, that is the superintendent of schools for Duval County. She is obstinate. She is in the way of, in fact, basically it's a thumb to her nose at the new state law about what they can teach in the classrooms, and made the decision that we'll just write our own curriculum. And they are contracting out with the LGBTQ agency or organization and the Planned Parenthood organization to write the literature for pornography that's called sex education, and for the CRT and for the Project 1619 in Duval County. And it's totally against the state law. And she's basically saying, in fact, Dr. Green is only one out of 10 superintendents of schools that received a direct letter from the Commissioner of Education in the state of Florida saying cease and desist. They've ignored that letter. So you're saying in cases like this, you sit with them, talk with them, and try to get them to basically, it's a come to Jesus meeting, and you try to get them to basically say, we're going to shape up or we're going to ship out. Is that what I understand?
That's exactly it. And if I can go back to that curriculum and to show why CCDF is so important and how we've been successful. I mean, we're only a year old in Duval County, and already we've made some major impact. So what happened was in CCDF, we attend all the school board meetings, workshops, et cetera, as well as city council meetings. And it was before the August school board meeting on August 2nd. It was Sunday night, and I'm looking at my calendar, and I says, I better check the school board agenda. And I see at the end of it, they're going to approve a supplemental health curriculum by ERT. I thought, what's this ERT? Get on the internet. I find this ERT public. Well, it's like an organization that publishes health products. And on the surface, it seemed fine. But my spidey sense was tingling. And I did an LGBTQ search. And bam, all this stuff popped up.
That's right.
To include 6 3/4 inch wooden male genitalia that was to be used in middle schools to show 11 and 12 year olds and 13 year olds how to properly put on a condom. So we show up at the school board meeting, and I rally my troops, send out a call to action to the CCDF Duval. We show up, and surprisingly, we don't see the opposition there, the Jasmine opposition. We all get up to speak, and we can see by what we're sharing with the school board members, they were unaware of the stuff that was in this curriculum. We all speak, and then I believe it was board member Hershey that said, maybe we better not vote on this. We better rethink this and look at this again. And that surprised me. I thought they were just going to vote for it like they have throughout the past year. Then the woman who's in charge of picking all the health and sex ed and physical education curriculum goes to the podium to be questioned. And she says, I don't understand why we should, why this is a problem. We've had this curriculum for the last 9 years. And then the light bulb went on. I thought, I see. Jasmine didn't bother to show up because for the last 9 years, while you and I and your listeners were off making a living, supporting our families, going to Little League, volunteering, the left was at work in our schools with this curriculum. And it turns out that the ERT was actually originally called Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
So they rejected that, but now they're writing their own. We're on that again.
So I am thankful for what your organization is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Let's take a moment away from the dialogue and discussion and ask a very serious question that perhaps our listeners are asking. How can people become involved and be a part of what is taking place with this?
I would ask them to please come to our meeting. That's how you get on our database so that you get informed, and we do the information through email, we do it through social media and private social media pages. So for example, you can't go to our Facebook page or our Telegram page. You have to be invited to that. And we meet once a month. This month we're going to be meeting at Jumping Jack's House of Food, their new location at Butler Plaza. And it's Thursday evening, March 16th from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
All right. And is there an email address that they could ask questions and get information?
Sure. We have a webpage. Is www.ccdfusa.com. And your readers are also welcome to email me at kmurray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, at ccdfusa.com.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got that information. I would urge you to go on the website and review it, and then ask questions and join the dialogue and discussion in the next meeting. Kathleen, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Kathleen Murray. She is the director for the DeVol CCDF program, and we're asking you to call in and ask questions and ask Kathleen any question that you have in mind, how you can become involved. Kathleen, tell us some of the successes of CCDF USA.
All right. So on the national level, CCDF, as I mentioned, started off in Polk County, and the earliest victories were they were the first county to remove the mask mandate in public schools. And they also, our attorney, Jeff Childers, who some of your readers may be familiar with.
Interviewed Jeff last week.
Awesome. Well, he's one of ours. He's a CCDF attorney. Mm-hmm. And your readers may or listeners may remember that it was Jeff that successfully got Disney to drop the jab mandate,
right,
as well as the mask mandate. And then CCDF Duval or CCDF Miami-Dade actually, by shining the light, and was able to flip the school board in Miami-Dade, of all places. I mean, that's Sodom and Gomorrah down
right
there. And
well, that's where now, Dr. Green came from, is that area. So.
And that's I'm sad to admit that my origins are in Broward County, which is its own.
We won't hold that against you today.
Oh, thank you, doctor. Appreciate that. But they flipped the school board conservative. In Denton, Texas, they got a restaurant to cancel a drag queen brunch for families. Polk County changed the policy so that now parents are able to opt into the kind of sex eds that's being pushed, you know, down the parents' throats.
In other words, you say opt-in rather than opt-out.
Exactly.
It's an opt-in. Explain that for our listeners.
Exactly. So the way it is right now is that if you as a parent in most school systems, to include Duval, if you don't want your children exposed to the kind of smut that's being taught under the guise of health education, you have to formally opt out, tell the school you don't want your children to have this education. We believe at CCDF, parents should have to opt in.
Right.
If you believe that it's okay, and the opposition that shows up at our school board members says, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. Children are, you know, kids are going to do this stuff anyhow. If you believe it's okay, then we believe that, all right, well, then you should opt in for that. And CCDF is working actually with the state to change that law. But in Polk County, now you have to opt in instead of opt out.
Well, it's a delightful understanding that Jeff Childress is involved. Jeff is a good guy. Had the privilege of being in some conferences with him with some major big hitter physicians that have been against the COVID jabs and enlightening the world as to what's happening with that. And Jeff did a super job on our interview last week in relationship to COVID, and I'm calling it After COVID What? What should we do and how should we respond? And he's done a super job on that. We have still have other things in the working that I pray will be enlightening for our listeners and for our city. Kathleen, tell us a little about other things that's taking place in Duval County and Jacksonville. What is happening in Jacksonville area with the CCDF beyond just the school? What other areas and avenues have you, has your organization become involved in vetting into the candidates for local office? I understand in your organization you do not sponsor a candidate or in any way recommend a candidate, but tell us what you've done in relationship to vetting the candidates and the local election that is now underway and how CCDF is impacting that aspect.
Well, what CCDF does, as you said, we are actually nonpartisan and we do not endorse candidates. But what we do is we hold candidate forums. And our recent candidate forum, I think it was noteworthy that neither Leanna Cumber nor Daniel Davis showed up. We had a Democratic candidate show up. It was for all offices. And so we ask our members to vote your values, and we ask questions of the candidates. We present those answers to our members. And from those answers, it becomes clear as to who is most aligned with our values that are of CCDF, and then to vote accordingly. Because let's face it, there's a number of politicians that probably started off decent men and women, and then over time we're corrupted by money and power, and that's one of the main reasons we don't endorse. On the other hand, we recognize that there's a lot of dark money coming into our county. So, for example, when we started looking at Leanna Cumber's campaign, and we noticed that why would the Rick Perry in Texas be hosting a fundraiser and endorse for a city council person when Leanna first ran for city council? Why would Rick Perry be hosting this? Why would he? City council in a totally different state. Well, through our investigation, we and also, which is all open source, by the way, we found out that her brother-in-law is a good friend in Austin, Texas, of Rick Perry, and a number of people I would call rhinos in the Republican Party. And in one article, the brother-in-law even admitted that although he had voted Republican since he had come to the United States, that he actually led an effort of 100 other national security specialists to support Joe Biden in the 2020 or the 2020 election.
2020.
Right. And now again, Rick Perry, and that was also public source, he supported and endorsed Leanna Cumber. We're also looking at Daniel Davis. Why did, as the president of the chamber, why did he bring Stacey Abrams, of all people, to Duval County? And we were hoping to have these two candidates in front of us for our candidate forum, but they didn't show. And that speaks volumes. What they don't say as much as what they do say.
Absolutely. In fact, that is some good information, ladies and gentlemen, to make your determination as to how we need to vote for this election cycle. I don't mind telling people anytime, any place. I believe that out of, and I know that the CCDF cannot sponsor and or endorse a candidate, but I can. And I am thankful that we see right now what is not being told publicly to we the people is that out of the mayoral candidates, we have Al Ferrero that is running almost neck and neck with the key leader, Daniel Davis. And it is my opinion that we need to keep praying, keep vetting the candidates, keep on telling others, and we need to go to the polls and vote. And one of the major, major things we can be involved in, all of the organizational structure, we can be involved in the meetings, the greetings, and the talking about, but we need to put feet on our prayers, but we need to be involved. As the Apostle Paul said, after putting on the whole armor of God, having done all, stand. And I believe we need to stand for truth. We need to stand for the candidate that most meets the structure that God gives us in God's election guide in Exodus 18, verse 21. Able men, men that fear God. Men that are not covetous. And I believe that we find those that are running for office in our mayoral candidate race, we need to recognize and vet those candidates and make that determination. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Kathleen Murray of CCDF in the Jacksonville area, and that CCDF is county citizens defending freedom. Kathleen, let me ask you a couple of questions. When we look at what you're doing, are you working with other groups to do and accomplish the ultimate goal that you're talking about?
Sure. Locally, we're working with Moms for Liberty as well as at the national level. Mm-hmm. We work with Moms for Liberty. We're also working with Florida Citizens Alliance. We helped review the civics curriculums, found a whole lot of CRT in doing so. We're working with CCDF Nassau County because we share some elected representatives with, for example, Dean Black. Nationally, we're working with the Election Integrity Network, and we're also working very closely with Rick Green and Patriot Academy. If I can go back to the elections piece real quick, I think this is important. On Friday, I received a call from one of my volunteers in CCDF Duval. We encourage our volunteers to become election poll workers as well as poll watchers. And this poll worker is a former IT manager for 30 years for the Coca-Cola company. And he said, over the last weekend, the decision was made by the SOE to go to express vote method of voting in addition to the normal one. Now, why did they make this decision over the weekend, for example, and why did they change it last minute on this? And this election poll worker, again, he's a former IT guy, he said that the express vote method of voting is just wide open for fraud. So I'd like to encourage your listeners, when you get to the polls, first, if at all possible, vote on election day. But they will ask you if you want to vote express. Tell them no. You want the usual form where you get the ballot and you fill out it and you put it into the machine. Do not use the express vote.
For the benefit of our listeners, explain the differentiation there, express vote and regular vote.
The express vote, as I understand it, and I am not an IT expert, this mm-hmm. worker is, but it goes through, let me see if I can find the information. The technology that's used for that goes through a router, which is very, very susceptible to being hacked, mm-hmm. whereas the other method, not so susceptible. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to step into the tech arena. That's not my area of expertise, but I have brought that to the attention of CCDF USA, and they are investigating now.
That's good. Good, good, good.
But at the moment, we all have the option. No, we don't reject the express vote.
I'm in agreement with you. I like voting day. In fact, Kathleen, if I can say this, and I don't know if our listeners understand this or not, I'm against early voting. I'm against mail-in ballots. I'm against anything other than one-day election. And perhaps our listeners can identify with this, and I know that you would. Back just a few years ago, before we got into the high-tech approach with Dominion software and Dominion hardware, et cetera, where elections can be stolen from China, et cetera, other distant places, before we got into that, we had election day. It was paper ballot. And the thing that's so amazing, ladies and gentlemen, we could vote 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock generally across the nation. And by midnight, 1, 2 o'clock at the latest, we know who was elected. That was hand counting. And now with electronic counting, we've got days, weeks, or months before we know who's been elected. So I'd like to see us go back to one day, even if we have to make it a federal holiday, especially on the major national elections, that everything is closed on that day except for the voting precincts, and you go in and you vote, and they count the ballots, and by midnight, 12, 1, 2 o'clock, we know who's elected. I'd like to just go back to that approach, Kathleen. I believe that's the only way we could put integrity back in the election system. Now, you spoke earlier about the vetting the candidates and dark money. I understand, but I think sometimes that we talk that dark money. What does that mean to the general? What is dark money that's supporting some of these candidates?
Well, so, for example, let me go back to the Cumber explanation.
Yes.
If you're a resident of Duval, you should be asking yourself, why would the people of Texas, why would people in Texas care about what's going on in our city council? What's going on in our mayoral race? And so when we talk about dark money, a lot of times we're also referring to George Soros's group, Arabella Advisors, mm-hmm. and Vanguard, and all these different funds. And so we try and look at where is the money coming for various candidates. And so, for example, for Daniel Davis, we're very concerned that the Florida Northeast Builders Association is supporting him mm-hmm. for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And why would he be willing to take a pay cut, significant pay cut, as the president of the chamber to become mayor of Duval unless that delta in loss of income is going to be made up in some other ways?
That is an interesting question. In fact, when it comes to dark money, the PACs, the Citizens Actions Committees, I think they need to be outlawed. I personally disagree with that. And when you look at Daniel Davis, he started out of the chute with his election with less than $5 million in his account. Where did it come from? What about the PACs that's putting out the smut literature and material that he is sending out and everybody's mailbox getting stuffed with it? I'm opposed to that. And so it is my prayer that we see your organization making a difference. So that brings me to a question. I'm familiar with multiple organizations down through the recent 20, 25 years. I'm familiar with the Tea Party of yesteryear. Tell us, me and our listeners, why you think what this organization is doing stands out from and is different from things like the old Tea Party and other organizations. Is this just another organization is what I'm saying? Will it make a difference? Can it make a difference? If so, how and why?
That's a really good question. And before standing up CCDF USA, Steve Maxwell, the founder, asked him the same question. So we actually brought in the founder of the Tea Party and asked him, hey, where are some of the mistakes that you all made? Mm-hmm. And one of them was that the Tea Party was all volunteer. The CCDF organization model has chapters throughout right now, Florida, Texas, and now even Georgia for your listeners mm-hmm. to the north of us. And the executive directors and the division leaders are full time. Now, as the director for Duval, I am a full time paid employee. I will be raising, and I'm still raising money to pay my division leaders. And again, the model is to be full time. And the other difference is that we have a code of conduct. And we also, which asks us to conduct ourselves with certain principles. We follow, again, the Matthew 18 model. But we also have, because of our structure, we're structured like a business, we have the media on our side. There have already been 3 articles in Epic Times about CCDF Duval alone, never mind CCDF in Hillsboro, Miami-Dade, Denton, Texas, etc. And I think more than anything else, another one is that we also have a faith division. So our business model here in Duval, you have an executive director, we have education division leader, we have an election integrity, we have research and analysis, which is following the origins of money, and we also have a faith division, because in the end, we know we've got God on our side, and that's our
Amen.
Ultimate
that's
weapon.
That's the key to it. If were it not for that, they'd be hopeless anyway.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left to talk with you about this today. Tell our listeners how they can become involved again and how they can reach you, how they can become involved, how they can research CCDF, and why they are needed.
Okay. So first go to www.ccdfusa.com. And that webpage is full of national successes. You'll read about Duval successes, and you'll also find ways to get involved. You can involve either by donating your time. That is, join us at the school board meetings. Mm-hmm. Join us at city council meetings. Join us at our regular monthly meetings to get educated. This month, we're proud to present Randy McDaniels, who's going to be doing he's a counterintelligence specialist, is going to talk about the influence of Marxism, et cetera, and socialism mm-hmm. and
Islam,
thank you, mm-hmm. On Duval County. Mm-hmm. And we could also use your donations because it is a business model.
Yeah.
And we can't expect our people to be working full time and not be compensated some way.
All right. Tell our listeners again the name of the organization, the email address, the website address, so they can go to that.
County Citizens Defending Freedom, so CCDF Duval. The website, www.ccdfusa.com. You can email me at kmurray@ccdfusa.com. And we're meeting this Thursday at Jumpin' Jack's right across from the Wounded Warrior.
The day and time.
And Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
Very good. Well, Kathleen, it's been a delight to talk with you today. And ladies and gentlemen, we're looking forward to your involvement of reaching out and getting the information about CCDF, becoming a part of it. I believe that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to be part of the foundation that will make a difference in our great nation. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south.